So we're turning tonight to Psalm 90. We'll read it in its entirety and try to speak on all 17 verses. This is a powerful psalm. So rich. I don't know. Probably 100 sermons in Psalm 90. So we'll just, once again tonight, just kind of give it an overview and scratch it. The Word of God is so deep. Psalm 90. What we're about to hear is the very Word of God. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, You've been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in Your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, but in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by Your anger. By Your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your presence. For our days pass away under Your wrath. We bring our years to an end with a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of Your anger and Your wrath according to the fear of You? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on Your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with Your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as You have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let Your work be shown to Your servants, and Your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90. You noticed, of course, that Psalm 90 indicates the author as Moses in the first verse. This is a prayer of Moses. He very well could have been the author of other psalms, but this is the only psalm that bears his name. In Exodus 15, Moses wrote a song of praise, remember? They got through that sea on dry ground. In Deuteronomy 32, he wrote a song of instruction. But now in Psalm 90, we have a song of prayer. The question, of course, right, naturally arises, what caused Moses to pick up his pen and write Psalm 90? What was the occasion? Well, we don't know. Of course, everybody's got an opinion. Me too. I don't think he wrote it for a New Year's Eve service. But nonetheless, Matthew Henry thinks Moses wrote it from the events of Numbers 14. This chapter reports the sin of the people after the report of the spies in Numbers 13. Remember that story? The spies went up, checked out the land. They came back with the report that they brought. 2 brought a good report. 10 brought a bad report. And they went with the 10 instead of the 2. You know the story. Could be But that's when Psalm 90 was penned, because of the swift punishment that God brought upon the people. Remember how it was? He was going to annihilate the whole bunch. He said to Moses, step aside. I'm done with these folks. But Moses didn't step aside. Moses stepped in between, and he became that wonderful, beautiful picture for us of our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who makes intercession for us. He's our mediator. And there Moses mediated and held back, as it were, the wrath of God. What a story there, Numbers 13, 14. But I'd lean with James Montgomery Boyce, with his commentary on Psalm 90, that it may well be tied to Numbers, not 13 and 14, but rather 20. You remember what happened in Numbers 20? Well, first of all, Miriam dies. It's verse 1. I think it's like six words in English in Numbers 20. Miriam dies. His sister. She's buried in the desert of Zin. Remember that? Second of all, but that was a great loss, right? I mean, let's not just blast by that real quick. Miriam, I mean, come on. This has been his sister. She's been his confidant. Yeah, I know Aaron and Miriam had a time where they had a rebellion against Moses, but brother and sister they were. They were tight. She was the one he could share with. Second of all, in that chapter of Numbers 20, Moses, what shall we say, loses it. He gets angry. He's had it. Perhaps it's because he was grieving over Miriam. I don't know. But you know what he was told? Speak to the rock. Speak to it. You'll get water. Remember the people were, they were complaining. We need more water. That was about it. Moses took his staff. He didn't hit the thing once. He hit it twice. Boom. And yet even there, by the grace of God, out came the water. But also out came, you know, a tremendous, hard judgment by God. And he told Moses and Aaron, you're not going into the promised land. You disobeyed me. You hid it when I told you to speak to it. And that ought to put some real fear into us when we think that we can take the Word of God and kind of stretch it, move it, manipulate it, and put a spin on it so we don't have to quite obey it exactly. So don't do that. Young people, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't play with God's Word. So that was the second thing that happens in Numbers 20. Third thing that happens is they arrive to the land of the Edomites, and they want to get through the land. And so they tell the Edomites, listen, we will not touch your well. We will not take any of your water. We just want to get through the road. Just let us by. And the Edomites came out with a vast army and said, you're not walking on our land. So there Moses had all this trouble. Now he's got to put in reverse, you know, multi-million amount of people and have them moved in another direction. Faced all kinds of trouble with that. The Edomites, I mean, come on. You know that they're descendants from Esau. Family. And then fourth, what else happens in Numbers 20? Aaron dies. Yeah. So now he's lost his sister and he's lost his brother. He's lost his mouthpiece. I don't know what's wrong with Moses exactly. He couldn't speak clearly. Some kind of speaking pattern. I don't know. But he got Aaron. You know, God brought Aaron, provided Aaron to speak for him. And so there they were, this team, Moses and Aaron, right? Well, now he's dead. He climbs, Moses, Aaron, climbs Mount Hor and takes the priestly garments off Aaron and places them on Eleazar. Then Aaron dies and on Mount Hor, and Moses buries him there. This was done, the text says, in front of all the people. Perhaps as Moses came down from the mountain top and gazed over God's people before him, this psalm came to him from the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's just my opinion. But nonetheless, the setting is a mountaintop view of life. It's a mountaintop view of death. It's a mountaintop view of God and His grace and His judgment, His wrath. So Moses, right, loses his sister, gets punished by God, gets trouble from the Edomites, loses his brother. So death, judgment, trouble, and more death are the somber topics of this psalm. And if you think back on 2023, some of these things may well be on your list. Did you have some trouble? Did you have some toil? Did you have some difficulty in 2023? Well, Moses had trouble too. These are the topics that can cause a person to stop and rethink about the priorities of his life and the purpose of his life and the shortness of his life. And that's really what I want us to think about tonight. But there's also in this psalm a quiet confidence that in spite of all the troubles, in spite of the death, in spite of the wrath of God and the anger of God, in spite of all this darkness, there's a confidence and a hope and a comfort for Moses. And I trust will be for your heart tonight as well. Because there is no other source for hope than God. Everything else will let you down. But God won't. He will give you the fuel you need for your hope each and every day. Every day. Every day. Sometimes just moment by moment throughout the day. God will be there. So let's walk a few steps with Moses tonight and look back through his glasses at what he sees. Picture with me. Moses is again on a mountain, having just perhaps buried his brother Aaron. And first of all, he looks up. That's our first point tonight. He looks up. Second, he looks out. Third, he looks down. And then I think he looks back up again. So he looks up, that's the first point, to see God, His people, generations of people. He sees mountains. And finally, the infiniteness of God in verses 1 through 2. So Moses looks at the big picture and he finds grace. Second, he looks out and sees the people of God, and he sees this vision of death. Verses 3 through 6, Moses looks at man and it brings him to humility when he considers the frailty, the weakness of man compared to God. Then verses 7 through 11, he looks down and sees their trouble. What is the trouble with mankind? What's wrong? What's wrong is that they're under the curse of God. He is moving with an anger and a wrath. Cursed are the days. So he looks down and sees trouble. He has a vision of damnation. Then 4. Verses 12 through 17. He looks back up and he prays. A prayer for deliverance. A prayer, deliverance. But a prayer that the people of God would find delight in God, even in the midst of all their troubles. So no longer in the fourth point is Moses looking. Now he's laboring in prayer. So the first three points, he's looking, he's looking, he's looking. But now in the fourth point, he's no longer just looking. He's laboring in prayer. Moses labors with God in prayer. So number one, Let's look at this vision of the generations, this generations that dwell with God, where Moses looks at the big picture and finds grace. That's verses 1 through 2. Let's look at it again. Lord, You've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. In other words, we're not God. You are God. Only You are God. But we've been dwelling with You. And we've been dwelling with You only because of grace. And I want to remind you again tonight, as you've looked back on 2023, you ought to just see it saturated with grace and mercy towards you, towards me. How many times did you mess up in 2023? What do we find? And here on this last day of 2023, we don't find that God has exited out the door and said, enough of you. Instead, He's still faithful. That's why we opened with a verse on faithfulness. That's why we sang a song tonight of God's faithfulness. Because as we look back at 2023, it's just been drenched with grace. I don't know what you've been through. Some of you have been through some hard times in 2023. Would you not say with me tonight, God has been good? Moses sees the everlasting God, the people of God, and the created majestic mountains. Moses sees the brevity, the shortness of the generations. He sees the eternity of his God. He sees the frailty of man compared to the soundness of the mountains. Yet God is even greater than the mountains. And I believe Moses is looking into the face of grace, for he sees that the people of God are still dwelling with God. He's overcome by the faithful, enduring relationship God has with His people. Moses is getting the big picture. Are you getting the big picture tonight with Moses? Do you see it in the text? Look up and see the big picture. God is with us. The people of God have been dwelling with God since the beginning. He has always had His people. He will always have His people. He had His people in 2023. He will have His people in 2024. His Son will be worshipped and magnified and glorified in 2024. To that, I am sure. God is committed to it. I hope you look at the big picture this week. As you put to rest 2023, seeing the big picture will guard us from getting cynical, bitter, or even discouraged with all that's going on. Sometimes, don't you? Don't you look at what's going on? You just throw up your hands and go, it's over. It's gone. No, it's not. For Psalm 90 says, our God is the God who dwells in all the generations. Second point. He sees a vision of death. Verses 3 through 6. Moses looks at man and it just humbles him. It just brings him to humility. Moses sees the people dying. Verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. Verse 5, you sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. That's how it is in Israel. The grass there is brown, what little grass you can find. Sometimes there might be a freak little rain, heavy dew in the morning, and it kind of turns the grass green. But I can assure you by the evening, the sun will have scorched it and it's turned to nothing but stubble. Go to the funeral home this year and you'll see the true reality that while we spring up like new grass after a desert morning rain, by nightfall we too are withered away. Listen to Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. We're like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What are we to do out in the harvest to help people that are harassed and helpless? And who are they harassed by? Satan, evil. And the only answer is the gospel. See the people around you as ones that are dying, not vibrantly living. We are not in the land of the living. We are in the land of the dying. That's a morbid thought. Thank you very much, Pastor. Isn't that not true? Isn't that not a true statement of our reality? That's why we need to be preparing for death, because we are dying, all of us. And God has appointed the time. You know, last week we spoke of Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Remember that verse? Romans 6:23. But, you know, we always have to also add to that Hebrews 9:27. "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that comes the" what? Judgment. Exactly. That's what comes. So, since we are all a dying people, think with me a moment. Now, really, if you were visiting someone, maybe at the hospital, or I don't know, maybe at their house, and you knew they were dying, maybe of cancer or something, maybe you knew, they only got a few days to live. Let me just ask you, would you get in a fight with them? Of course not. Would you get in an argument with them? No. Would you steal from this dying person? Of course not. Only an immoral person would mistreat a person dying. But since that's what we're doing, we really should be kind to each other all the more. Amen? Don't you visit someone in the hospital and while you're just ready to do anything, "Can I get you a glass of water? How you doing? Can I help you with anything?" Right? Of course. That's the way it should be with us. Moses is saying here that we are all dying and we are, another year has gone by for us. Time is bringing us to our grave. Why will we not be more kind to dying people? Dying people have different priorities. Let's live like we're dying in 2024. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do tonight? What would you do tonight? Live like a dying person, because we are. And we move from these verses of death, verses 3 through 6, to now these verses of judgment and damnation. You see this? This is harsh. Verses 7 through 11 are tough verses. Verse 7, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You've taken our iniquities, all our sins, and you've set them right in front of you, displayed them. Ooh, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." So Moses looks at judgment and it causes him to fear. We're moving from just a humility now to a fear. That's what a vision of damnation should do. It should cause you to fear the Lord in such a way that it drives you to the salvation brought to us only in Jesus Christ. He who would cause us to fear Him would also desire us to come to the salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Savior is the cry, is the call. And since He is faithful to see to it that every generation has its people, He effectually calls His own to Him. And I trust that in 2024, we will see many called among us right here at Walker to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and make profession of our faith. But Moses looks at judgment and it causes him to fear. And I hope tonight that we all... I didn't say be scared of God, boys and girls. I didn't say that. But I did say you should fear Him. And you should believe in the salvation that He's brought to us. We die because Adam sinned. But we live because the second Adam died for us to give us life eternal. Sin brings death, but Jesus Christ brings eternal life. Moses could not enter the promised land in Canaan, right around the corner where they were heading up around the sea. Nope, couldn't do it. God in His mercy brought Moses to the promised land. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to get to sit with Moses and talk about this event. And then we can ask him, what exactly caused you to pen Psalm 90? Was Pastor Dave right? The fourth point tonight is this prayer for deliverance. It's the bulk of the psalm. It's verses 12 through 17. As I said, he's no longer looking. He's not looking at judgment. He's not looking at these things anymore. He's laboring now. That's what prayer is. It's labor. He's praying for deliverance. He's praying for delight. I hope you pray these prayers this year, 12 through 17. This is a good outline for prayer. Make this your prayer. Six verses, each filled with requests. How many? Well, some say there's 10. Some say there's 6. Some say there's only 3. Let's just take one verse at a time. Verse 12. Teach us. Lord, would you teach us? Lord, would you be our teacher? Lord, would you help us? Would you teach us to number our days? On one level, biblical wisdom is a skill like being a weaver, an architect, or a goldsmith. It's the learning of a trade, right? So here, Moses is saying, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So what does he mean, wisdom? If we number our days, we'll get wiser. So what is it to be wise? Well, like I said, it's like being good at your trade. On another level, it's the ability to solve problems that take keen insight, like Solomon had when, you know, the two women came with the baby and what to do to figure out who the mother was, right? On another level, wisdom has a term applied to men and women of the Bible who represented a way of thinking and conduct that's orderly, socially sensitive, and morally upright. So the thrust of biblical wisdom is godly moral conduct. So teach us to number our days so that we will have proper godly moral conduct. So young people, I don't know what you're doing tonight after church. But I remember what I used to do after church, and it wasn't godly moral conduct. My mom and dad didn't know. At least I don't think they knew. But it wasn't godly moral conduct. So I don't know what you're doing tonight. Maybe I don't know. Got a party or something? Going to getting together with some of your buds? Great. I hope you're wise. I hope you're... learn to number your days, number your moments, number your time, that you might have godly moral conduct. What is it to be wise? It's to be like Jesus. It's Jesus personified wisdom. To have wisdom is to know Jesus, to have Jesus, to be like Jesus. Are you being wise, young people? Really, I'm asking you. Are you being careful? If you had to record tonight your events, if you journaled your sin, would it help you? That's what it means here. Number your life. Number what you're doing. Write it down. Think about it. Review it. Look what you're doing. What are you doing with your life? That's the first question. That's the first prayer. Moses, always the good leader, is teaching us to pray. Teach us to number our days. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. This is a great prayer request. I hope it's one that's on your lips often. Jesus, come soon. Return, O Lord. Come. How long? How much longer, Lord? We've been waiting. The people of God have waited a lot. We talked about that this morning. Have pity on your servant. That's what the thrust of verse 13 is all about. Oh, Lord, because of our condition, come for us. Make all things new. Revelation 22:20, the last chapter in the Bible, almost the last verse. And what is it? What does it say? What does it pray? This prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Oh, that the steadfast love of God would be all that's needed for me to be satisfied. Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That's what happens when we get ourselves satisfied with the steadfast love of the Lord. We rejoice. And we're happy. We're glad. Were you satisfied with Jesus last year? Did you want someone else? Something else? Oh, that I would have made more money. Oh, that I would have found a new job in 2023. Oh, that I would have received that new toy. Augustine said, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they find rest in you." The only thing that will satisfy our souls is the unfailing love of God. All else will leave us hungry. You may need to write that on your mirror and read that once in a while. The only thing that will satisfy my soul is the unfailing love of God. All else will leave me hungry. Verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. You start to see the tone here? It's about our emotions, about our emotional stability. Lord, would you make us glad? Would you fill us with joy? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being empty and 10 being full, how much joy do you have in your tank? Are you running low on joy or are you running high on joy? Here the psalmist is teaching us to pray that God would make us glad. Moses just buried his sister. He just buried his brother. He got condemned by God and had a relative tribe show evil toward him. But he's still laboring for joy. In the midst of your difficulties, are you still clinging, praying? She would be so filled with joy that you would be able to communicate the gospel as in the way it ought to be communicated. With great gladness of heart. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus said, that my joy, the joy of Jesus, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. He wants us to be at a 10. James 1:2-4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, my brothers, even when you fall into difficulties. Verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. See, this is one of the reasons I know Moses wrote this.
Again, these liberal scholars, you know, they want to tell us, well, Moses didn't write this because that would make it too old. Well, excuse me? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he wrote that too. That's pretty old. But this is another reason I know Moses wrote it, because he's praying here that we would see the glorious power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would see the glory of God. That was, what was it, Exodus 33? God says to him, what do you want? He says, I want to see your glory. And God didn't say no, but he hid him in the cleft of the rock to protect him from his glory. Moses prayed big prayers. Moses prayed great prayers. Parents, pray that your kids see the glory of God in 2024. There's a prayer request for your kids. That's why this is a great prayer list, isn't it? So, yeah, show us your glory. Pray big prayers in 2024. Finally, verse 17, let the favor or grace of the Lord our God be upon us. This is like now the right benediction. Here we go, coming to the end. Establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's interesting that it's repeated. So important to establish the work of our hands. If we don't have purpose, it just destroys lasting pleasure. We have a purpose, congregation. It's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Living a life without purpose can have negative consequences on your mental health, your well-being, your happiness. Some of the common effects of lacking a sense of purpose are feeling bored, restless, dissatisfied with your life. Again, I'm asking you to look at 2023. Compare it a minute. Think about it. Did you have low self-esteem, confidence, or motivation? Did you experience times of depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues? It may be that you're missing the purpose, the calling of God upon your life to glorify Him, and that the days are short. So make the most of every moment within every day of every year. Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless, Rick Warren tells us. The child of God has purpose. So glorify God by exalting Jesus Christ, and I will say to you, He will establish the work of our hands by His grace, and only by His grace, for we will not attempt this without His grace, but with His grace, we can. With His grace, we can, like Moses, look up. I lift up my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? Look up. Look out. See His hand. And see our true reality. Yes, look down and see the trouble we're in. But look back up again and remember the grace of God found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number your days. Make each day count to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray tonight that You would help us live as Moses has just been praying. Father, would You fill us with joy, joy unspeakable. And the fact that You've saved us through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Thank You that You've given us a purpose, that even in the midst of troubles and death and hurt and pain, You are with us. Through each generation, You will never leave us nor forsake us. Never will it ever be. We thank You tonight for those great promises. And now, Father, this wonderful prayer of Moses. We ask You, Heavenly Father, continue to speak to us through Your Word in this coming year. And have us just be filled with Your amazing grace upon our lives. For we pray it tonight in Jesus' name.